Hello and welcome again to episode 3 of Christian Rebellion, the podcast. My name is Ash Green.
And I'm Jackson Farrell.
And we are your hosts for this lovely, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour podcast.
Yeah. If you were hoping for other hosts, too bad. You're stuck with us.
All right, so how was your week?
It was good. Good? Like, pretty productive. But at the same time, like, I'm learning to not measure the quality of my week by how productive I am. You know, I'm sort of in this place where I'm learning to be productive, like, which is something that for you know, a lot of my life I wasn't. But at the same time, I'm learning not to beat myself up or anything like that, or get into that bad mental place where you feel like you gotta perform, you know, to, you know, like, it's just, I feel like I'm learning that you can't go 24/7. You can't even go 24/6, you know? I'm a believer in the Sabbath, you know? It's a good idea to take that day of rest. But at the same time, on the other 6 days, you know, you can't just work from sunup to sundown and then go to sleep. You gotta build that other stuff in there.
That's probably my problem right now.
Oh, you poor soul.
Between going from work and then most days, like, three of the 7 days, I guess. You know, gym twice. The other day is gym. And then so then the night's off, it's like, oh man, I gotta play catch up on this paperwork or this or something for Plan X Media or whatever.
Clean this thing.
Yeah,
that's what it is for me. Clean this thing. Yeah. It's always clean this thing.
Ugh. Being productive.
Well, there are times in your life where you just gotta grind, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe this is one of those times in your life. And if so, I feel for you, man. I am so sorry. I hope it's over soon.
Me too. Well, we had the 10-year, we'll call it reunion. Our 10-year anniversary is Plan X Media. Came up last Friday, and we decided to invite the other co-founders in, and we just kind of had a game night, had some fun, just kind of shared a thank you and communion. It's good times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun. Like, I appreciate having you around, you know? You teach me to have fun. You force me to have fun. And I need that in my life.
I think you just called me a slacker very secretively.
I did not. I called myself a poisonous workaholic. Except I'm not even that. I'm a slacker, too. I'm the worst of both worlds. I'm the anti-Miley Cyrus.
Oh, my goodness. There's a topic. Swerve away, Ash. Swerve away. All right, so
how was your week?
That was my week, man. I focused so much on that 10-year thing. Like, I tried to get back into the grind of doing those workouts and doing the hashtag worship fit, and I barely did any of that, man. I went out to eat every chance I got, slept in every day, and maybe hit the gym like 3 of my, what is it, 7 times is the goal? No, 8 times is the goal.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, last week was productive fail, but I feel refreshed, you know? Got some time to heal up and all that.
That's good.
All right, so moving right along. The first segment we like to do is probably my favorite, Media Minded.
Yeah.
And it turns out, as we were just chatting before we started the record here, that we kind of came across the same topic this week, which is pretty cool. So I'm going to introduce it, because mine was just more about the placement of it, and yours was a little more intelligent. See, he's the intelligent one. I'm the color commentator here, just if you haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah. No need to throw yourself under the bus here. Just, like, you're plugged into the culture. I'm this irrelevant guy who babbles about nonsense.
So,
well, we both do that, but in different ways, is what I'm saying.
We've mentioned him before. He was actually our first topic, I think.
Yeah.
So why not just keep the train going here? NF became number one on Billboard charts this week. His new album debuted at number one as a Christian artist that, in my opinion, is a no-name. And I think that's insane and awesome. And the only reason I call him a no-name, I mean, we talk about him, you know, every week here, apparently, is every time I try to talk to him about somebody that knows music or, you know, enjoys whether Christian or non-Christian music, they haven't a clue who he is. You know, yeah. I was lucky, Radio U, I absolutely love those guys. And I was lucky to run into a music video of his, I guess 3 years ago, maybe a little bit further. I don't know. He's done basically an album a year since he's started doing real albums. I mean, technically he's got a fourth one. I don't know if you've heard that or not. I listened to it. Straight up sounds like Eminem the whole time. Like, very interesting. Like,
so was this?
I hate to give people that comparison because so many, like, especially white rappers, oh, you sound like Eminem. You know? Like, KJ52's got a song about that. I'm sitting here thinking, not even close. No. Yeah. Like, that album, it's like, oh my gosh, like, I legit thought, like, I had, like, got the wrong song or something. Like, it was an old school Eminem thing. It was kind of interesting.
But, so, was this album before the three that he's most recently?
Okay. Yeah, he references it in, I think, his, I don't know if it's Therapy Session or if it's the first one he did, where he goes, go back to my Moments album. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I find it amazing that he's made that chart. He's just so interesting for the type of artist he is. There's been a little controversy around him with, he mentions it in one of his songs where, like, parents call him violent. I personally disagree. He does too. That being said, I will fully admit there's some imagery that he talks about that is,
raw?
Yeah, very much so. I guess he's got that imagery that he uses where he would say something like maybe,
well, it's the whole,
I'm not talking drugs, but, or hi, and I'm not talking drugs, or, you know, it's, I'm gonna slaughter my problems and bury them, you know, things like that. Like, I kind of get that, but he's very raw. He's very, as he calls it, real music, which I absolutely love. It's not necessarily saying, or he actually says it too, you know, I'm real. I'm a real person. Like, this is not the type of music for somebody that's perfect, because I'm not perfect, you know, and he wants to be real. And I absolutely love that. And I want to do that with my films, with anything Plan X Media related, everything in my life, my ministries that I've done, wholeheartedly. That's, I want to be real rather than I'm this perfect guy from the pulpit that you can't relate to.
Yeah, and he's not using realness as an excuse for sin in his music either. Right. He's not, you know, the so-called violent stuff is, number one, it's a metaphor for making positive changes in your life or being honest with the things that you struggle with. And on top of that, it's, I had this on the tip of my tongue a second ago, but, like, it's not graphic, you know? It's just the whole metaphor of, you know, and you hear it throughout the rap industry. It's not a bad thing to murder a track, you know? Like, that's the way you want to approach your art. You want to kill it.
Yeah.
You know? You want to slay your demons. Like, and that right there is something that you can't do without God's help. And NF acknowledges that. So, I mean, I think that the, you know, those criticisms against him are unmerited.
Yeah. I'm kind of reminded of probably my all-time favorite band. I don't know. There's a couple up there. Five Iron Frenzy. Project 86. Andrew Schwab, you know, Project 86 lead, the guy that's basically the band. He did a song, I can't remember what album it was off of, called Ichabod. I don't know if you know Ichabod Crane.
Yeah.
The Headless Horseman.
I figured that might be where it was from.
Okay, yeah. And the chorus is something like, off, he screams, off with his head, you know, and the lyrics go on about, you know, killing the old man, not like, kill the old man, grandpa's gonna die, you know, it's kill my old self, you know.
Yeah, which is straight out of Paul. And so, concerned parents, why don't you take it up with Paul about the violent imagery in Paul?
I mean, have you read the Old Testament, the sex that the graphicness of the sex that they talk about and the deaths and the, I mean, and just, I don't know, we'll call it some sexism in there. I laugh every time I get to the point of, maybe I shouldn't, because it's a very violent death. They're raiding, they're raiding this stronghold, and a lady, they very sure to point out that it's a woman, drops a rock on this dude's head, and he's like, quick, kill me. Like, he's basically, like, paralyzed, and like, I'm gonna die anyway. I need you to kill me so they can't say a woman killed me. Oh, my man. But it's just so impressive that he's hit number one on Billboard, and that's awesome. Like, I feel like he is a great influence for the youth. He's real, as opposed to a lot of that we get in any music industry, much less the Christian music industry. I'm reminded of so many things. Like, the first time I heard his album, I was like, oh no, this is I can see people loving him, but I could also see, like, you know, this going south really quick with so many Christian artists out there that have, like, I remember reminded of the women that I talk about in Christian music a lot of the times, like Kate Hudson, Jessica Simpson, Stacey Arrico. They were all very beautiful women that got into the Christian industry and went running from it. Jessica Simpson, going back to that one for a second, she was basically told her boobs were too big. Like, and that's why, like, she couldn't get a career in that. Kate Hudson went running, and now she's known as Katy Perry. And Stacey Arrico hit charts at the same time, secular charts and Christian charts, and all of a sudden she was not Christian enough, and she was too secular. Man, just the way that industry goes is so crazy.
And how did Amy Grant pull it off in the 80s, you know? Like, how did that even happen?
I don't know.
This has got to be a miracle.
I mean, there's plenty of very good female artists out there, too, and they didn't go running, and I'm sure they had to put up with a lot of junk as well. So, again, just impressive that NF, very different style from these ladies, very different look from these ladies. But it's very impressive to me that not only has he got a third album out in 3 years, he's worked with Toby Mac, Social Club, and he has hit number one on Billboard. Like, just craziness. I love it.
Yeah.
And you were going to talk about something more specific on the actual album.
Yeah, just I've been listening to it a lot. And, you know, I've had a couple of thoughts. One of them you may not like, so let's dive right into this mess. Get controversial. It's, you know, listening to his past two records and now this one, you know, it's... oh my gosh. Well, maybe you'll like it. But my perception is that his progression as an artist has been primarily personal rather than musical. And I don't mean that as a knock on him. Like, I mean, he started out good musically, and his next, you know, his following albums have been just as good. You know, like the growth that we're seeing, the reason that I keep tuning in for his albums at this point, and the reason why I'm curious to see where he goes next, is just because he keeps progressing as a person and laying it out there in a really musically competent way. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, like I think back to early Five Iron Frenzy, and it was very simple. They were doing very simple things with the horns, and with the, you know, sort of the song structures and the way that they did that. Very basic, straightforward musically, punk rock, you know, not a whole lot of vocal harmonies. And, you know, you never would have expected early Five Iron Frenzy to do a song in 5/4 time like they did with Car on Five Iron Frenzy 2 Electric Boogaloo. you know, but NF, in contrast, is just, you know, really solid flow after flow, really clever rhyme schemes, and, you know, a very good sense of when also to dial it back and just sing or take it slow and, you know... and on the flip side of that, when to pull off the 360-degree tomahawk jam, you know, vocally. Yeah.
So you're basically saying, like, his growth as a person and lyrically you're really enjoying, but as a musical talent, he hasn't really matured much there, is kind of what you're saying?
I'm saying he came out mature, you know, just solid. Like, I'd give him an 8 or a 9 out of 10 in terms of the, you know, the music that he's producing.
I guess I use the term mature. Like, a lot of a lot of people use that to reference the changing of a style in a band. I mean, Reliant K came out with their first couple of albums. They're still around, and they've, quote, matured since then. Yeah. I miss the immature Reliant K.
That's a fair sentiment.
And other bands have done that. I mean, Thousand Foot Crutch, they were, like, rap core rock when they first came out, and then they kind of went rock and have matured since then. And, you know, again, not necessarily a bad thing, but I guess that's what they... the industry people... or just people in general, I think, call the changing of a style throughout the years is their maturation process, you know?
Yeah, here's how I'd put it. He's stylistically consistent, and he doesn't see a need to reinvent himself in order to, you know,
And I put in a vote to not, please, because it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely awesome. In particular, I've been listening to the track 10 Feet Down a lot, and just sort of that... NF has consistently produced a lot of tracks that have motivated me as a creator and an artist.
Yeah, definitely.
And it seems like most of us these days are artists with a very limited audience. So that sort of thing can be very valuable. The sort of track that seeing another artist do these things that gets you to create. And I feel like NF's music is very fan-affirming, you know?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
I mean, he's consistently talking directly to the, quote, fans and about the fans and his A-team.
Very encouraging. I did notice that I had another media-minded thing on here just as I was reading my notes. Should we move on to that, or do you have more NF things to say?
Go ahead.
Yeah, so moving on from our weekly NF corner into Stranger Things Season 2, which is releasing on October 27th.
I still haven't watched season one.
Yeah, I am pretty excited about that because season one was some solid storytelling, went to some very interesting things and leaves some interesting places open to go. It might even be enough to get me to get Netflix for a month. I'm such a cheapskate, but you know, I've been looking forward to that for a while, and you know, it's. I'm definitely going to watch that stuff at some point. It's just a matter of picking the best month where I've got the time to really look into the stuff on Netflix that I'm interested in.
Have you read the book that Stranger Things is based off of?
I didn't even know it was based off a book.
It's called... I'm trying to look it up real quick. I think just going with my quick Googling here, I think it's Montauk Project.
Montauk Project.
Yeah, like and I haven't seen it, the show, so I can't tell you. Like, there's supposedly this book out there that's 100% true story of a general who wrote this, I believe. I could be messing up my facts, and this is kind of why I was asking if you'd seen it, or read it, so... Maybe I can find it and force you to read it and then tell me some more about it. But I guess, like, it's based on this, quote, true story where they were trying to, this military base. And I think it's, like, the city name is based off of that Stranger Things is. Or maybe, is there a military base?
There's a government research facility.
Maybe the research facility has the same name as this base or this book or something. I can't remember what it is. Like, they actually reference it in the show. And, like, I guess this... this general claims that there was, like, basically this horror story that comes out of them opening, I think, some kind of portal to another dimension or something, and something wreaking havoc on the base and whatnot. So that's kind of where at least the first season came from, was pieces of that book.
Mm-hmm. That would be interesting for me to look into, especially concurrently with the second season, to see if... just maybe do a little research as things get interesting. So, all you listeners out there, you can look forward to my review of Stranger Things Season 2 sometime in 2018. Yeah, you know, we're busy people, all of us. You guys listening, me and Ash, and all the people who aren't listening to are busy not listening.
How dare they? Things.
Yeah, shame on them. But, yeah, Stranger Things, woo!
Yeah!
You didn't even watch it.
No, I didn't. I mean, that being said, the podcast is
people are listening.
I think people are listening. I was joking this week, but I mean, joking, but it's true. We got our first fan art, and we had a fan send in an intro. So yeah, go us.
Woot!
That's gotta be a good sign, right?
Yeah, you gotta show me that fan art.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's on Facebook. It's on our on Plan X Media where we announced the mm-hmm. Christian Rebellion the podcast on that ad down below.
Gotcha.
Somebody sent in just a little sketch that they'd done, I think, during their break or something. Okay, it's nothing totally impressive or anything, but it's our first fan art, okay?
Makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Interacting with people. That's like why we as artists do this sort of thing. Just to interact, to get that, you know, throw something out and see what comes back.
That's
part of it. Relationships. It's a form of relationship.
Okay, so science news.
Science news.
All right. This week, scientists were talking about, and I saw a couple of, I didn't actually see, any real video of it. I saw like a computer generation of it and other types of images that were drawn or, you know, computer models. And I guess maybe, let me start out with this. How would you like to have as much gold as you can dream of?
That would be cool if it was only me that could do that.
Yeah, well, let's start working on a rocket and sending it out in space. I want to say it was like Popular Science that led with this on their webpage. Two neutron stars collided, and we were able to observe them for the first time ever. And their title was something, more gold than anywhere else in the universe was just created when these two things collided. And really what that has to do with is when neutron stars collide. Well, a neutron star is... Do you know what a neutron star is?
Yeah.
Okay. Our listeners may or may not know, but a neutron star is just so dense and packed. Like, it is... maybe 10 kilometers in size, yet would weigh the same as our sun.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a fact on Google, one of my Google results. I think it was based off NASA. One teaspoon of a neutron star material weighs 6 billion tons.
Wow. That's crazy dense.
I'm just thinking about my recipes that I make, and one teaspoon of, I can't lift it.
It fell down to the core of the earth. It's wrecking gravitational havoc on our planet.
Sorry guys, I won't be using that recipe again. But the pressure is so intense at the core of this thing that it changes particles, the electrons, protons merge together, creating this star. And when they collided, like, you've got this explosion of materials or whatever, and the metals are least likely to change because of how dense they already are, and just their structure is more tightly packed and stable than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so gold in this example, you know, there's a ton of that left over there. And scientists were pretty excited about that, to watch this, these two kind of swirl around each other. I think it took like a whole 90 seconds. They swirled around each other and then impacted. And I'm told that we have seen like the gravitational effects of that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't know, I just think it's really cool. These just... super dense things hitting each other like that. Mm-hmm. And scientists are still theorizing and kind of wishful thinking. They want to see what happens when a neutron star hits a black hole. That's what they really want to see. Mm-hmm. Like, which one wins that fight, huh?
My money's on the black hole.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Hey, I'm not saying it's a sure thing, but my money would be on the black hole.
I think you're right, but I don't know.
Only one way to find out. Just Find a neutron star, find a way of throwing it into a black hole. How are you gonna do that?
All right, UFC, next card. I want to see this. Like, people are waiting.
Yeah. UFC, get on that. I remember back in sixth grade, I had this idea for how to make gold out of other substances, which basically involved it was mechanical manipulation. It was, you know, taking, you know, is there some sort of claw to take electrons and protons and configure the, you know, the right number for a gold atom, which is stupid. You can't do that with,
claw.
Like...
You're scared of the claw.
Yeah.
Sounds like that claw might be an atomic explosion waiting to happen.
Yeah. You can't just free up... but, of course, in sixth grade, I didn't know that. But it's interesting to know that by flinging two super dense neutron stars at each other, you can, at least in this case, create lots of gold.
Yeah, so let's start trying to collect it. Maybe we can fund some of our stuff.
Yeah, how many light years away is this?
I honestly, I'm not sure. I couldn't quite figure out where exactly it was.
Yeah, how long will it take us to get there traveling at the speed of light?
Enterprise, beam me up. Scotty, hello, is this thing on?
Oh.
All right, so you're doing it wrong.
Oh, you've got one for this.
I do.
This is going to be fun.
So this week, I'm not going to mention her name. I don't want anybody Googling her, which I swore at some point I wouldn't do this because I want, you know, people to research my words or whatever, but I'm not going to do it.
Anonymity.
Yeah, there was... I read this week as I was looking for Christians doing it right and checking out the Christians that made it into the news and whatnot. A Christian porn star.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, dear, dear.
She says God is cool with her job.
Define cool.
Man. Just, no!
Yeah. I don't really have anything else to say about that one. I'm content to move on from it whenever you are.
She was using like the logic that every Christian has heard and maybe used an excuse at that point. You know, I'm a good person in general, and you know, just that I want to call it false logic that we use. That mm-hmm. like I don't follow Christ that non-Christians use, you know, I don't follow Christ, but you know, I'm sure he'll let me into heaven because I'm a good person.
Mm.
You know, basically she was mostly quoted as saying things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a falsehood.
It sounds like she knows that it's sin and is just excusing it.
Yeah. You know, which opens the door to the bigger problem that we have as Christians, and I guess trying to get our point across to the culture itself is, again, just using those words are just, you know, I'm a good person.
Yeah.
You know, I was a youth pastor in a church for a while that, in concept was pretty cool, where like the whole denomination was, let's not sweat the small stuff. You know, we are going to, just make sure we're doing what God calls us to do and evangelizing and, you know, not bother with all the theological debates of all these little things. It's like, oh, that's great. That's perfect. I love this. I get in there and all of a sudden, like, the small things are actually the big things, you know, and it's like, is there even a hell? And, mm-hmm. you know, God, I'm a good person. They're a good person. That's just not theologically accurate in any form.
Yeah. No. I feel bad for her, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a sad thing right there.
And that's a bad message. Just so many of those compromises that we're making as Christians in general, I'm sure I make some too, but, like, just as a Christian culture, let me put it that way, as a Christian culture, you know, the compromises that we make just can be awful, and this is definitely one of them.
Yeah, and, I mean... I also find myself thinking, there but for the grace of God go I. I mean, not with that specifically. Like, it's hard to imagine a scenario in which Jackson Farrell becomes a quote-unquote Christian porn star. But there are... No, don't stop thinking about it, Ash.
I am not thinking about that.
Okay, thank you, thank you.
I don't need that.
But, you know, that, like, I've got my things. And I can conceive of, you know... scenarios in which I would have, you know, my things would be worse. My problems would be worse. You know, none of us are innocent. All of us are culpable. And, you know, it's not like God gives us a pass on our junk because we're good enough or, you know, basically a good person, or we measure up to some bar. He gives us a pass on our junk because Jesus Christ paid for it.
You know?
And he's got his sleeves rolled up. He's working in our lives to dig out that junk, you know, to redeem us, to clean us up.
Exactly. Yeah. And, I think that's one reason why David, you know, they call David a man after God's own heart. And he very much like sought after God. And then, I mean, his mess ups, were massive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still called a man after God's own heart. It's not that he was sitting there doing those things and being like, yeah, I'm awesome still, or it's okay. It was, oh, snap, I did that. My bad, God. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. he was very distraught when he did those sorts of things and tried to be right after the fact, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or, sorry, not be right, make things right.
Yeah.
I don't know. So Christian's doing it right.
All right. Moving on to the positive.
Yeah.
You've got one, right?
I do. I guess I'm doing it 2 weeks in a row. Terry Crews, I just want to say, I'm such a fan of his still. Especially after I found out like he was a Christian, saw him doing all these different I almost want to call them announcements, but like these articles that I've read about him and his statements. This week I saw a video on Facebook that was starting to circulate where the title was something like Why Terry Crews Decided to Build His Own PC. And as you watch the video, it kind of progresses that the reason that he did it was for his son and his relationship with his son. And he's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, I think I saw some videos where he must have YouTubed it or, you know, put it on Twitter or Facebook or something on his page where he's got all these computer parts where he's like, all right, let's see what happens. You know, he had no idea what he was doing, putting this thing together. And
he was like consulting people live, wasn't he? Like, what do you do with this thing now?
I believe he was building it with his son, and his son was like, no, that doesn't go there. And that could have been part of it. I'm not entirely sure about that. I know like he was watching a lot of YouTube tutorials and soaking it all in before he did all that. So he was at least doing a bunch of research beforehand. But what this whole thing was about his son. Like, he walked into his son's room one day and thought he was playing a video game, and then realized his son was probably watching somebody play on Twitch, you know. If you're not familiar with Twitch, it's twitch.tv, and people live stream stuff off of that. So they'll live stream themselves playing video games or doing art or other things. It's almost like a new cable system.
Yeah, everyone broadcasting.
Yeah, there's people on there that make quite a bit of money playing video games for people to watch.
Yep.
And
or streaming their Dungeons and Dragons games.
There we go. Awful good. I plugged it first.
Thank Sucker. You. Yeah, that was a great plug. Cough it out.
I'm sorry. I just knew it was coming.
Yeah.
But he saw his son playing this and then realized, oh, wait, his son isn't playing this. He's watching this. You know, and he's talking with his son, realizing he's not very relating with his son, understands his son's culture. And so he had a conversation with his son, you know, hey, what do you like? What are we going to do? And son's like, I love watching video games. I love playing video games. You know, I love video games. And, you know, just like any preteen, teenage boy, grown adults, that, you know, grew up in that age of Nintendo and beyond, you know, we like our games. And Terry's like, you know, I know nothing about this. And so a lot of parents just kind of in there, you know, I can't relate to my kid. And he's like, no, I'm going to build a computer. I'm going to understand this stuff. I'm going to do this stuff, you know. And I'm not entirely sure how much enjoyment he actually has with it. I mean, he seems like the kind of guy that has fun with just about everything, just with his attitude that I've seen from different TV shows and the movies that he's in and just the statements that he's made. He just seems like he has mm-hmm. fun with stuff. And so he probably had some fun with it, but that wasn't his goal. You know, his goal was to understand his son more. And so he started doing this with his son. His son became interested in building it with him. I'm sure he's playing video games with his son now. Like, I just think mm-hmm. that's super cool that, you know, that's the kind of relationship a parent needs to have with their child. And while I'm giving him props for it, that's what we should call it, Christian props.
Yeah.
While I'm giving him props for it is just so many times as a youth pastor, I want to smack around parents. Just, I mean, I'm with your kid maybe an hour and a half a week. And you expect me to make your kid perfect. You know, parents, well, my son's not doing this and that and this. It's like, have you tried to relate with him at all? Have you talked with him? Granted, I remember myself as a teenager, and there's kind of a relationship barrier that starts to form between you and your parents, mm-hmm. and as well as sometimes just that cool, hip youth pastor, and I use the word hip, so I'm out. Yeah. Never getting one of those jobs again. You know, but that cool youth pastor, you know, that's kind of set apart to, oh yeah, he's cool, he does this, this, and this, and he talks to us and tries to relate to us. But let me tell you, man, literally standing in the room in a youth ministry situation causes a relationship. Like, we've just, I'm maybe swinging into an entirely different subject, but we have started this generation with just the internet and things that they're coming up with. We've created this generation of, like, I call them, you know, BS meters, you know, because mm-hmm. that's what they are. You know, you've just got to have that want to be with those kids. And it's not a want to teach them some learning. You know, it's, I want to connect with these kids mm-hmm. and youths. And I feel like that's all you need to do. And by I feel like, I mean, that's what I've seen. You know, I'll stand in the back of the room and all of a sudden they're like, yeah, you're the cool guy that stands in the back of the room, yeah. You know? And it's like, I just stood back there because I didn't have a chair. I didn't know what to say to you guys, but yeah, that's me, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. And so he's making that effort, that even outside church culture, just our culture in general, where fathers just aren't a thing.
Yeah.
You know, to see him doing that, like, I just got to give him mad props for that.
Yeah, definitely. Parents, be more like Terry Crews.
Get jacked and... Oh, no. Relationships with your with your kids. Sorry.
Parenting thing. Yeah. So shall I do mine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's my church, Hope Church. Today, October 22nd, they just finished up a kind of a talk series. The co-founder of Prodigal Ministries, Jerry Armelli, was talking about it. And what Prodigal Ministries does, and I'll kind of pull it up in their own words, off their own website. They began as a ministry that supports men and women with unwanted same-gender attractions, and they've grown out to help people with other, you know, issues surrounding sexuality. You know, a lot of support groups and one-on-one counseling and things like that, and this series of four talks that was going on at Hope Church, and I thought the talks were great. Like, the message that Prodigal Ministries has is just really on point for our culture. And it's basically that, you know, our culture says there's this idea that you either have to be 100% accepting and celebrating and embracing of homosexuality, or you have to hate it and hate homosexuals and reject them and kick them out of the church, etc. That there's these two different sides that you've either got to, excuse me, to, you know, that just the, you know, the hate or the embracing, you know, and sort of prodigal ministries was saying that there's a different way, you know, that it's possible and desirable, to love, you know, gay identified people and, people with unwanted same sex attraction, you know, wherever just the sort of variety of people that are, you know, in that broader category of, you know, of a certain sort of sexual person, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that you don't have to hate them, you don't have to reject them, and you don't have to agree with them on everything either, you know? And that even, you know, like their sort of principle in trying to help people who come to them with, you know, sexual issues of whatever sort is that we don't want to get hung up on your issue as if that's the central issue here. The thing is, you know, getting closer to Jesus Christ, to growing in your relationship with him, and the sexual stuff is an issue, and this is sort of in my own words, but I think they might agree with it as well, that it's that the sexual stuff is, you know, it comes to light that it's an issue in your life, and you progress, you know, you work on your issues, and you, when you come to them and start talking to them, it's because you're at a point where you want to grow more in your relationship with Christ. You want to learn more about what he wants from you and what that best life that he has for you is, because he loves you, you know, and that you're willing to grow from there. And they're just sort of, you know, time and time again, Jerry Armelli, as he was giving these talks, shared that when he's counseling someone, he says, he basically says to them, you know, that he just sort of leaves it open like that. Well, we're going to follow where Jesus leads us, you know, in this sort of discussion, this experience that we're, you know, that we're undertaking. And I think that's a great attitude to take toward, I think it's a very open-minded attitude, without compromising either, you know, love for these people in your life or love for yourself, you know, while at the same time not compromising, scripture, the biblical perspective on these things and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Like that's pretty cool. I don't know if you knew this or not. I'm just going to throw this out there. My brother actually runs, I believe he runs it anyway, GodLovesHomosexuals.com,
mm-hmm.
which is, gives out like testimonies and basic education on, that relationship, on, how to minister to people of that persuasion. Just, there's so much hate. You know, and going back to exactly what you were saying, those two ends, you know, there's two ends. You have to be part of one of them. If you're with us, or sorry, you know, you have to be with us or you're against us kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Like LGBTQ identified people, it seems like a lot of them, I wouldn't necessarily say a majority because I don't know, I haven't done statistical studies, but it seems like, you know, I know people in my life who would probably just straight up cut me off if I talked to them about these things honestly.
Don't worry, I'm just cutting out this whole segment. We're good.
Oh, fantastic. But, you know, it's like they, you know, there's a form of hate on that side. And I really do think that we can love each other, you know, and relate to each other in healthy ways. And not agree on everything.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of the Christian Rebellion too. You know, we're not all going to agree on these things. There's these hot topics, and I believe that we need to get past the anger and start conversations and start the reconciliation, as it were, to different sides inside the church and outside the church. I mean, are we ever going to be there? No. you know, but can we be better? 100% yes, you know. Yeah. And we've got to keep our learning going.
Yeah, 100%. I do remember, you know, I've looked at some of your brother's work with God Loves Homosexuals, and I think I watched some videos on the site, I think near to when he first launched it. It's been a while, like years since I came back or checked it out or saw what he was up to, but that's very cool, you know, very cool things going on there too.
Yeah, sorry, and I didn't want to take away from Prodigal Ministries either. Do you know what the word prodigal means?
Yeah, it's the prodigal son, you know, the going away and then the coming back.
Yeah, but that's not what the word prodigal means.
What's it mean?
Eccentric.
Like a weirdo?
Like he goes off and he lives that extravagant, eccentric life.
Oh, yes.
And like, that's what the word prodigal actually means. Just that's one of those words that we've kind of changed the definition to as a Christian. You living know, and everybody kind of identifies with when they hear prodigal. They think about the prodigal son. It's like, oh, that, you know, that story kind of comes to mind and the new definition kind of forms instead of eccentric. Like he was going off living this eccentric life all of a sudden.
This unhinged kind of life.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Just kind of fun fact. That's probably a topic that I'd love to hit at some point soon. Just our culture and how we are redefining terms in a very dangerous way, as far as I'm concerned. You know, and it,
And
words. What we can do about it.
Words are important.
Words are powerful. Like, and while they mean different things to different people, obviously, words are still powerful.
Yeah, and linguistic drift will inevitably happen.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's cool. Yeah, cool.
Yes.
Sorry.
Fine. But we need to be careful about how we speak, and we need to speak in useful ways.
Yeah. All right. So our topic this week, we're trying to be topical here, since this is coming up, the church and Halloween.
Ooh. Scary.
Yeah. I'm going to hide under the table until this is done now.
You bring your microphone with you and it'll be fine.
Oh, right.
You can come back up, Ash.
Okay. Boo.
He didn't really hide under the table. I feel like I shouldn't lie on the podcast.
Narc. This relationship's falling apart. All right, so...
what do you want me to do? Lie on the Christian podcast?
Just go with the bit, man. That's all it was.
Okay, I can't guarantee that anything on this podcast may or may not be just a bit.
And, yeah, so...
I'm sorry.
I'm not hiring you as an actor ever. But this isn't my name. But that's not what I would do. Why are you talking in that funny voice? He's lying!
None of this is real!
There we go. That will be your part in any one of my sitcoms or something. You'll just walk through the background. No, this is real.
This is a show.
Staring right at the fourth wall.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. I got us off track from Halloween.
That's all right. So Halloween, the church and our horrible relationship with Halloween, which maybe possibly rightly so. So, actually, why don't we just start off with you? Like, your thoughts on how the church reacts to Halloween.
Well, there's a certain sense in which I feel like I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't do a whole lot for Halloween. Like, my Halloween tradition is to leave a bucket of candy with a Take One sign out on the doorstop and go see a movie. I'm the worst, aren't I?
Yeah, that first kid gets all the candy and what about everybody else?
It's the honor system, which is...
That never works in Halloween. These are children!
Oh, well, how am I supposed to see a movie then and leave candy for the kids?
An iPad? I don't know.
iPad? I'm not even sure how that would help. Like, what is the iPad for?
You stare at the iPad, and then when they come up to the candy, you look up from the candy and just give them an evil look where the sign says, please take one still, making sure they only take one, then look back.
There you go. Wow, that sounds great.
So we've solved Jackson's Halloween problem.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ash. Moving on to everything else.
Yeah. But as far as my perception of how the church handles Halloween, I do remember, you know, a lot of it. I feel like the churches that I went to never made a big stink about Halloween. You know, I went to my share of harvest festivals, you know, and people wore costumes there. And I guess no one made, like, the concern, it seemed, was less with Satanistic implications. And it was more with, you know, trick-or-treating. There's some dangers involved.
Yeah.
We can be real about that. There are definitely some dangers involved. How big are the dangers? Well, how do you even quantify that? What is the unit of danger?
An oodle. No, wait. That's happiness.
That's fun.
Yeah. Anti-oodle.
Non-oodle. Anti-oodle. It's like an anti-proton or something, but for oodles. Yeah, but that's sort of where I am with... whatever might be out there in the broader church world of really awful reactions to Halloween, I haven't been exposed to it, except maybe through chick tracts.
Well, I mean, from my perspective, the church has a lot of different responses to Halloween. I mean, you have the trunk or treats, which are fun. I like that idea. Personally, you've got the, oh, well, let's do our own horror house, and it's the hell house kind of thing, where you go through, and this is what it's like to be in hell, and they go through the different freaky stages of that, kind of our version of the haunted house, I guess. You've got the churches that do the harvest festivals and those sort of things, and I don't see the church... I don't think I've ever seen a church like fully embrace and just call it, you know, their Halloween festival or something like that. It's the harvest festival. And you've got the churches that are tend to be a little more traditional that are just like, nope, it's Satan's Day. We don't do Satan's Day. And I feel like, I don't know. I guess my issue here is when I look at holidays, most holidays are like, for me, it's like, oh man, I have to do all this work to do this, and like Christmas, I gotta set up all this stuff, and oh man, being a minister during Christmas time, man, love on your pastors during December. Do everything you can for them, because that month is just thing after thing after thing after thing after thing while doing your normal job, and by Christmas... Like, there's so many... There were a couple of years where, like, my family were doing different things in different areas, and that month is so busy, you can't take it off as a pastor. You can't go be with your family. Either your family can come be with you, or you're stuck. And, like, being a single adult, my families were off doing different things, and all of a sudden, Christmas became this great thing where it was like, nobody's around. I get to do nothing. And I got all these like sorrowful texts. Oh, that's so sad. Join us. Nope, I'm good. It's like, I have nothing to do today. This is awesome. And then prepare for New Year's Eve, you know?
Yeah. Okay, I got to ask you, which would you least like, to be a minister during December or to work retail?
Least likely?
Like which
oh, work retail in December?
Yeah.
Work retail in December.
Any day?
Yeah, my
That's
gosh.
Your choice, huh?
I would least likely to do retail in December. Oh my gosh. I've done retail in December.
Oh. So be nice to your ministers and your pastors during December, but also be nice to your retail workers.
Yes, please. Wow. Yeah, those days are just, wow. People. I love people. Sorry, sometimes I have to remind myself I love people.
It's hard.
Yeah. It's but hard anyhow, that last reaction is, you know, my reaction is personally that throughout the times, what Halloween once was is now insanely different. Again, maybe going back to that changing of terms thing, or changing of definitions thing, where maybe at one point it was... very much based on spirits, ghosts, and Satan, where, you know, you dress up to scare away the scary spirits that come out on that day. Now it's a day where full of pranks, fun, and dressing up, as far as I'm concerned.
And candy.
And candy. Candy. Which,
like, that's not the part of any satanic tradition.
Kool-Aid?
Cool. No one's
handy. I'm sorry. I thought too hard about that one. So, I feel like the church has this... Harvest Festival's great idea, great... I feel like, I don't know, I just almost feel like when I hear the Harvest Festival ideas, the Trunk or Treat, not so much, but when I hear, like, Harvest Festival or whatever, like, we're putting our spin on it. I almost feel like we're pretending like it's not what it is. It's a Halloween festival, you know? Kids come dressed up. They're not dressed up as farmers, which I feel like is the appropriate response to a Halloween...
To a Harvest Festival.
Harvest Festival, you know, yeah. If you're dressing up. You know,
well, just to play devil's advocate here, you know, dress up in my devil costume and my devil lawyer costume. There's an idea. But isn't that exactly what we did with Christmas and, what was it, Saturnalia? You know, we filed the serial numbers off it, you know, stuck a Jesus in there, and boom, you got your Christmas.
That's what we did? Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, so we're just filing off the name Halloween and replacing it with Harvest Festival.
And let me throw this out there, too. Like, nowadays, kind of a reverse of that, like New Moon Festivals. New Moon Festivals. Some people kind of, I bet most of our listeners would cringe, the more traditionalists would cringe when hearing New Moon Festival, because the first thing I think of is, like, Wiccans and, you know, that sort of thing, and witches and the New Moon and lunar events, and that's all Satan's, you know, you're thinking just the different cycles in our life cycles go with the moon and this way and that. And what's the astrological sign thing?
The zodiac.
Zodiac, you know, that kind of comes to mind when, in fact, like New Moon Festivals were this very big Old Testament Jewish important festival.
Yeah.
You know, that one's kind of changed a little bit, I'd say.
Yeah.
I get that there's a group of people in the core as well that's just like, it was founded as this, and so it's always going to be evil. And while I can't think of an example right now, and while that may be true of certain items, I feel like, especially as Christians, we've done a good job of taking over certain things and making them better.
Or taking them over and making them worse.
Yeah, Christian film industry. But we're trying, I think. I don't even know about that. But there's that core that's always going to say that. And I guess maybe this is just kind of why I take issue. It's like, for me, this is something fun. This is something I don't have to prep for. Like, I was ripping on Christmas, but I mean, all kinds of other holidays, you know, I'm running around prepping for this or whatever. And Halloween's just kind of, kids are coming and I'm handing them candy. Like, I bought a bag of candy and I get to see these cute kids coming, or these gory teenagers, you know, somewhere. Yeah. And maybe somewhere in between. Or somebody like me going, no, I swear I'm a child. I'm just ginormous.
Yeah.
They call me Baby Huey. I guess there's probably always going to be that core, but I feel like this is just one of those examples that it's kind of time to move on from that, because that's not what it is anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's meant to be fun. Maybe it's just one of those things that it is what you make it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just like music or gaming or any of these other things. Like,
yeah,
it's just meant to be fun at this point. Like, nobody's going at... I mean, maybe there is. I can't say that. There's probably people going out and doing stupid satanistic things. But for the most part, people are not doing that. And those are people that are making it something that it's not anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe that can be our fight for it. We're changing it. It's just for fun. No, we're going to sacrifice stuff. No. You're wrong. This is fun day.
Yeah. You know?
Where we get to laugh at our own mortality. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, as you're saying these things, I feel like the Halloween issue is in a lot of ways like the homosexuality issue. You know, you've got the people on the one hand who are saying, oh, it's completely bad, you just gotta throw it out, oh, hate Halloween, and God wants you to hate Halloween because it's Satanist inherently, you know, and on the other hand, you've got the actual Satanists who are sacrificing actual... Do people do that?
I don't know. I see a lot of TV shows doing that. It might hit the news every now and then, but I've personally never actually seen or heard of anything in this area. If you researched on the internet, I'm sure you could find examples.
Yeah, but...
But I feel like that's with anything nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think it, you know... I don't have a beef with Halloween, and I think a lot of these people in the center are just sort of asking the same sort of question, you know, that you and I and we as Christians are asking, which is, what do we do with the culture, and how do we redeem it where it can be redeemed? You know, do we do that by celebrating Halloween, you know, with our, you know, our secular friends, our non-Christian friends? Do we do that by holding these alternative events, whatever you want to call them? You know, what do we do with the sorts of costumes we wear? How does God want us to engage with Halloween? And, you know, we're all asking that, you know, we're coming up with a lot of different answers, but I feel like these people who aren't on the not even going to listen, not even going to participate in the conversation side, I feel like we're all asking that question.
And I think it comes down to our name again and the definition of the Christian rebellion. You know, it's a rebellion of self and a rebellion of love, you know, and this is, we need to do things in love. You know, if we're doing the Harvest Festival, you know, the quote Harvest Festival, you know, they're obviously doing it in love. They're obviously trying to create an alternative. I feel like that's done well. The trunk or treat is generally as close as I think we can come to doing Halloween as a church. And that's inviting people and creating a safe environment for children to come around and get their safe candies, in theory. I mean, I'm sure that can be destroyed as well with one bad egg here and there.
Yeah.
Maybe even literally.
Yeah. I was thinking, well, why didn't he say apple? Like, that's the thing that actually happens.
Poison apple?
I was thinking about razor blades, but...
Yikes.
Yeah. Let's... Ugh.
And, or if you're like the guys from Firefly, you know, bombs. Such a good show. I'm sorry. But then, you know, there's that core of, well, let's just hate on this, you know, and it's all evil, and the people participating are bad. And,
you know... They're, like, I can, you know, I can even... I think even a person who rejects Halloween, you know, out of a spirit of love, like, I feel like even those people are on the same page as us, you know? Like, the people who don't celebrate it but they're like still engaging with the people in their lives, you know, I expect these people are very few and far between, especially compared to the Halloween haters, as it were. But, you know, like, I do think it's possible to say, I don't celebrate Halloween out of, you know, a conviction that it has these Satanistic origins and that it's, you know, a bad thing. And to say that in love.
And I think that goes right along with the meat argument that Paul had said in the New Testament, where he says, you know, should you eat meat sacrificed to idols? No. And then later on he goes in and says, should you eat meat according there that was sacrificed to idols? Well, it doesn't matter. Idols, not a real thing. So,
yeah.
You know, but if people have issue with it, you know, maybe don't do it around them. And while my metaphor feels like with that wording is kind of falling apart here, but if those people are doing it in love, and I'm okay with respecting those people that are staying out of it in that way. You know, it's the hate that we've got to get past. It's the judging in a way that's like, you guys are wrong kind of way, and I'm going to make sure that you guys know that you're wrong, and I'm going to hate on you for it. And that way, you know, these haters, as it were, as you called it, the Halloween haters, you know, it comes back to that core issue of we need to love each other. And when it comes to Halloween, I think we just need a hostile takeover. That's all it is, you know? It's already leaning towards a fun family, fun night anyway. Let's just make sure it stays that way.
Yeah. There you go. It'll call it Christ-a-ween.
Christ-a-ween. Oh, Lord.
It'll be just like December-ween for Homestar Runner, except Christ-a-ween for the church.
I don't know what just happened here. We can make animated cartoons
celebrating any good points that we made. should we backpedal? Should I just forget everything I said?
I think it's too late. Let's just move on to our advertisers.
Okay.
Chocolate Book. They pay us well here.
Yeah.
So why don't you plug them?
Chocolate Book. That's what I do. It's at chocolatebook.net, and it's just a blog where every weekday I eat chocolate and I read the Bible and I blog about it. You know, share my thoughts. Hopefully have something good to say. That's it. Chocolate Book.
Sounds delicious.
Oh, it is. It's delightful. And that's, you know, I'm hesitant to rewind to the Halloween thing. Maybe we should just leave that in the past. But, you know, having discovered that so many, you know, typical chocolate companies acquire their chocolate through slave labor or just don't ask questions into where the beans for their chocolate come from, you know, with the harvesting and whatnot. You know, I scratch my head and I ask, what am I going to do for Halloween this year? Am I going to just suck it up and compromise and buy some Reese's Cups and Hershey bars or something? Or am I going to get some of this fair trade stuff, you know?
Whatever it is, just make sure you're standing beside that Take One sign. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Thanks for the tip.
All right. Well, from Ash Green
and Jackson Farrell,
thanks for joining us, and hopefully we'll see you next podcast.
Yeah, bye.